Please check your mailboxes. Some have a growing collection of goodies in there. There are updated directories of those who regularly attend here in the foyer. Those are always very handy to have. Please take a large bookmark in the foyer for use and use it to pray for Pastor. Okay, and there's we can use your help in various things. If you are willing to give your time to the Lord, please let the office staff know if you're willing. We have spots to fill as a greeter before church or run our lyrics or sound for worship or help in any other way. Okay, thank you. And Ed and Carl, could you do the offering?
Lord, we thank you that you are with us, Lord. Thank you for just your promise, Lord. As we sing before you, Lord, you cause your enemies to be scattered, Father. And Lord, let that be so in all of our lives. We say amen to that, Father. And in our nation, Lord, and in every way, Lord, we thank you that you, our Lord, you are our King, as we sang. Lord, you are our provider. We just pray over these gifts as you've provided all of it anyway. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless these monies, Lord, and the use of your kingdom here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I think I'm up. I'm going to ask Brother Denny if he would come. Come on up, my brother. We're going to take a minute. He has to leave, but Denny has some prayer need. He's struggling with a heart issue, and we want to believe God to touch him. So I'm going to ask you, if you're here and you want to come and pray for Denny, I'd like to lay hands on him today and believe God to heal him. Glory to God. We believe we serve a miracle-working God. Thank you, Father. Lord, we anoint our brother this morning in the name of Jesus. And God, we pray that you would cause his heart to beat the way it was made to beat, Lord. Father, touch him in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus. God, we pray that you would do a miracle in this body. Father, oh, in Jesus' name, that you would even his system out. Father, all of these medicines that have gotten all mixed up in his system, God, we pray that you would just flush it out of him and clear his body, Father, and let it do what you have designed it to do. Touch him. Father, we're asking for the Holy Spirit to descend on him even as we're praying. Lord, let anointing come and heal his body. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, let healing flow to our brother.
Yes.
Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, by his stripes, Lord. Thank you for it, Father. Oh, Jesus, thank you for that work. We pray that you would strengthen strengthen this body. Touch him and encourage him.
Yeah.
Bless him, Lord. And Lord, we believe you to do it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Rababakashite. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we will continue to pray and believe God. Glory to his name. Thank you, Lord.
Can you give us an update on the other people?
Amen. This was the week of prayer requests. I'd get a request and I'd ship one off to Shay, and then I'd get another request. Shay, here comes another. Then I'd get another request and here comes another. But with those prayer requests, we're believing God, always believing God for the testimony of what he's doing. And I want to share with you, our sister Sherry began a week ago to slur her speech. Something was clearly not right. And when I saw her in the hospital, I realized this woman, it looks like she's had a stroke. Some things may have facilitated that, but she did in fact, as they did some testing on her, discover that she did in fact suffer a stroke. At first we thought it was just a mini stroke, then it looked like it was much, much more extensive. I want to thank Kathy Chafee for being such a wonderful friend to our sister. She spent much time there with her, and I just so appreciate it. But Sherry shared a testimony with me that she wanted you to hear, and when every time I go to see Sherry, I walk in and I say, "Sherry, how are you?" And she gets a big grin on her face and she goes, "I'm doing well. I'm trusting God. I'm not discouraged." She kept saying that to me yesterday. She kept saying it yesterday. "I'm not discouraged. I'm believing God." And she said, "And I'm going to work and get everything back that I can." When this first hit, she said she lost the vision in her right eye. Nothing would focus. She couldn't see. She couldn't see right. It was just gone. And she said, "Pastor Dave, I just began to worship and praise God. I just began to sing to him, tell him I loved him. And as I worshiped, I looked down at my Bible, and I could see all the words. They all came back." And from that moment, for a woman who has had extensive stroke damage, she's speaking. She's speaking in complete sentences. She was up yesterday. She was walking all over. She shampooed her own hair. She's putting on her makeup. It's just a miracle that God has preserved her. Does she have a road to travel? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Please continue to pray. It sounds like I am really loud. Please continue to lift her up and pray for her. She is going to have some things to walk through. I know I'm on here somewhere. There I am. Yeah. But if you could see the joy on my sister's face. And she was telling me how she's believing God to help her, but she's saying things to me in the hospital. She says, I have such a desire for God to use me in the power of the Spirit. I want to hear the word of the Lord. I want to be able to speak the word of the Lord to people. I'm listening to her thinking, you're awesome. Sherry, it's wonderful. And so God is at work. God is at work in her life. We're praying that she's going to be able to be transferred to the stroke rehabilitation unit in Erie, PA. There is some reticence on behalf of her insurance. Her insurance does not want to pay. So, of course, So we're praying and believing that her daughter and whoever needs to can fight through that thing. But I want to pray this morning that God will give favor and enable Sherry to get where she can go to get the best care that God can give her. Glory to God. I spoke very briefly with our sister Karen Kopp on the phone yesterday. Denise has heard more from her. But she's doing well. She sounded very encouraged, and she had her family with her. They have put a pacemaker in. She's apparently done quite well with that. She's looking at another procedure to deal with her afibrillation problem that she continues to struggle with. But she sounded good. She said she's believing God, and her family was there. And she just sounded more encouraged. So we'll continue to pray with her. My wife continues to be out with her mom. We're hoping and praying for an amends there. And there's some real challenges at my mother-in-law's home, but God is at work. God is at work. And the positive steps that my wife outlined to me in just the past few days, glory to God. Prayers are being answered, and God is on the move. But if we could pray for these needs, let's join our hearts together. Father, we thank you for our sister Sherry. Lord, I thank you for the joy on her countenance, Lord. Father, I pray that you would continue to touch her, that you would do a work of restoration in her body, Father. Thank you for her joyful spirit. Thank you that when she was suffering with this thing, her first thought was to begin to worship and praise you. Oh, God, we pray that you would continue to bless our sister and let her be used by you mightily in days to come, Father. Bring her out of this with a testimony. Restore her. And, Father, I pray that you would release the funds that are needed for her to be able to go to that rehabilitation center. Lord, in the name of Jesus, give her favor. Break through all of that red tape. Take every obstacle away. And I pray that someone would stand up there for Sherry and that she'd be able to get what she needs, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, do it. Lord, we pray for our sister Karen that you would, I thank you for another sister with a heart after you. We pray that you would bless her, that you would continue to help her. Father, we thank you that you're at work in her life. We pray that you would heal her body, strengthen her heart, and encourage her, Father. Do a restorative work, Father, for her in Jesus' name. We give glory to your name. Thank you, Father. Jesus' name. One thing Karen shared with me, she said, Pastor Dave, I'm alive. And you know what? It's a miracle that she's alive because her heart stopped twice. She flatlined two times. Two times her heart was done. She said, if I'd been home, I'd been dead. But she was in the hospital. They were able to revive her twice. And now she's got some hardware in her, and she's still up and around and desiring to serve God. Glory to God. Our God is a mighty God, and let's hang on and believe that in the face of everything that happens. Last week we shared about getting into the Word. I hope it stirred up your heart. Did you get into the Word a little bit more this week? I hope you did. If you didn't, then jump on the bus. Get on and dig into the Word of God. It will change your life. As you meditate on it, as you soak it in, as you let it come into your ears and into your eyes, it's going to change your life. Glory to God. This week I've got another very basic thing to share with you today, and it's nothing you haven't heard, but God, I am praying that, anything that I could share today would light a fire and a zeal in you to, move in this area in greater measure. I want to talk today about the importance of prayer. And I'm going to approach it maybe in a way that you haven't heard before. But Proverbs 29:18, go ahead. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. I'm hoping that some of the things that I'm going to share with you today will stir up such vision and hope in you that it will propel your prayer life, that it will re-energize it and cause you to pray with a greater zeal to believe God. Where there is no... Have you ever tried to pray when it just seems hopeless and it's very discouraging and you feel very discouraged and you're kind of praying that sort of half-hearted... You don't even feel like praying. But when you have a vision, when you know that God is at work, and you've got that thing happening in you where there's the revelation, the Spirit bears witness in you that God is at work, then you can pray in faith and believe for God to move. And that's my hope today. I'm going to give you a little history lesson today. And it's a history lesson that I've given you before. But it's worth being reminded of. 1906, California, Los Angeles. Little place called Azusa Street Mission. There was a fellow by the name of William Seymour. He was a black holiness preacher. And he had heard about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He lived at a time when it was not easy to be a black man. He heard about the baptism in the Holy Spirit from a full gospel man who was preaching at the time named Charles Charles Parham. And he went to sit in on his classes, but unfortunately at that time, because he was black, he could not be in the classroom. He had to sit out in the hallway, and Charles left the door open for him so he could hear. His heart was so stirred by what he heard. God stirred up such a hunger in this man for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. His heart cried out for it, and he began to pray and seek God for it. He only had one working eye. He was a 34-year-old son of freed slaves from the South. He had not had an easy life, but his heart was just on fire for God. And he was invited to come to Los Angeles, and he began to preach the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He went to a church. He preached that God wanted to baptize people in the Holy Spirit with the accompanying signs and wonders and speaking in tongues and all the gifts of the Spirit. And then the next Sunday, he showed up to speak again, and there was a padlock on the door. They locked him out. The pastor of the church disavowed him, said, we don't like what you're preaching. We don't like it. We don't see it happening. And we don't even see it happening in your own life. You even said you don't feel like you've received it yet. He hadn't walked in the fullness of the Spirit himself yet, but he was preaching it. And they locked him out. The Holiness Church Association of California condemned his message. So if you think that the Azusa Street revival was all glory and there was a battle, there was a real battle there. He got thrown out of the church, but a couple who was sympathetic to the message he was preaching took him into their home. He was penniless. He didn't even have a cent. But they took him into their home, and they began to have meetings in their home. Just the three of them and a couple other people. And they began to pray. And they began to pray, God, send your power. God, pour it out. And he was praying and seeking God, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. He's been praying for years, but he's praying and seeking God yet more. God, pour out your Spirit. Well, they continue to pray, and they continue to pray, and they continue to pray, and they continue to wait, and nothing. Nothing! Do you think there was a real temptation to be discouraged and give up? Oh my goodness. But this guy, it was burning in his heart. He just kept crying out to God that he would do it. And after many weeks of intense prayer and meetings, he was heading home one day, and a fellow that had been meeting with him, Edward Lee, had been sick. He had a problem in his body. So William Seymour stopped and to pray for him that God would heal him. And while he was there, he prayed for Edward Lee to be healed. And Edward said, "I really want the Holy Spirit. Pray for me that I can receive that." And William Seymour laid his hands on him, and bam, the guy starts to speak in tongues. All of a sudden, it just poured out of him. And William Seymour about lost his mind. He was so excited. He grabs the guy and drags him back. They have a meeting, and they bring him in, and he says, "I've received the Holy Spirit." And he began to sing in the Spirit and speak. And then all of a sudden, wham, somebody over here starts speaking in tongues. And then somebody over here starts. And it was like a fire that began to catch. Days later, interestingly enough, William Seymour himself, who had brought this message of that original group, he was the last one, I think, to actually receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But it, all of a sudden, it was poured out on him. One woman that was there, what was her name? It was a woman that ended up, she was going to, ended up finally being his wife. He married her. They prayed for her, and she received the Holy Spirit. She started singing in tongues, and she walked over, and she started to play this beautiful music on the piano. The only thing was that she had never played the piano before, ever. God just miraculously released her to begin to play. And she had that gift until the day she died, worshiping and praising God at the piano. Just amazing. People started coming from everywhere because people were being healed and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I mean, healed, like limbs growing back out, tumors falling off of people. Amazing, amazing miracles. Oh, the power of God, according to eyewitnesses, was so strong that people would just come, start to walk to the house where the house was, and they'd fall under the power. There'd be people laying in the lawn out in front of their house because the power of God was so intense. Oh, glory to God. One time they shouted and rejoiced so much. William Seymour was preaching up in the front. They shouted and rejoiced and rushed onto the porch, and the whole porch collapsed. They had to go and find another place to meet. And that's how they ended up at their Azusa Street location. One young person in early April came up to the porch where they were having meetings before they moved to their Azusa Street location, and he had a word from the Lord. He said the Lord spoke to him that that there was going to be a great earthquake in that land. It was going to hit. And he prophesied the great California earthquake, April 18th, 1906. Just a few days later, it hit. Such a powerful move of God. The fire department showed up at this place once because people were calling in saying they saw flames coming from the top of the building and there was a glow, and people heard things that sounded like explosions coming from the building. So the fire department shows up, only there's no fire. It's a Holy Ghost fire. Oh, amazing. Absolutely amazing how that God had moved. There was a Jewish man that went there. He had heard so many bad things about the Azusa Street revival. The press and the media at the time had just horrible things to say. They called it the Tower of Babel. They had miserable... I guess the media hasn't changed much in 100 years, has it? Hasn't changed much. Oh, they had so many horrible things to say about this move of God and how crazy it was, and the people were out of their minds. So this Jewish guy went because he was trying to gather information to discredit Christianity. And he walked in and he headed up a set of stairs, and there was a young girl coming down the stairs, and she stopped and she pointed her finger right at him. And she began to speak in perfect Hebrew, his first name, his last name, what he was doing there in Los Angeles, and recounted the sins in his life. And he looked at her and he said, how do you know my language? And she says, I don't know your language. I only speak English. I was speaking in tongues. He repented on the spot and got saved. There are so many eyewitness accounts of these things. I was watching a couple of eyewitnesses on a video. They didn't have video back then, but in late 1960s, early 1970s, there's a couple of guys found these two people. They were the last two living eyewitnesses of the Azusa Street Revival. One of them was this woman. These two people, they were both children at the time. I guess they both played when they were there together. And she was blind, and they prayed for her, and her sight was instantly restored. Oh, glory to God. Absolutely amazing what God could do. But this is the point that I want to make. During this great revival, the Spirit of God came upon William Seymour and gave him a prophetic word. Ooh, glory to God. William Seymour said that God had shown him that in about 100 years, there would come another move of God that would make the Azusa Revival pale in comparison. In about 100 years, God will move again, and it will be such a mighty move that Azusa Street Revival will look like nothing. William Seymour passed away in September 28th, 1922. What year is it this year? 2022. It's been about 100 years. Oh, God. I'm not one to say, on this date, on this date, at this time, Jesus will come back. Please, don't think that I'm saying that. And I wouldn't give so much credence to it, except that the Spirit of God within me bears witness that we are on the cusp of a move of God like we have never seen before. The world at the time that Azusa Street happened was a mess. You think that our country is a mess right now? Do you think it's never been this bad before? You look at history and you see that some of the greatest moves of God, the world was in the trash can. When Jesus came, the world's walking revival, God in the flesh, he came in the middle of the Roman occupation of Israel. They were essentially enslaved by the Romans. There was another revival going on about the same time in Chicago. It was called the Stone Church Revival. And a woman named Maria Woodward Eddy was leading that revival. And incredible miracles. She was preaching the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Incredible miracles, signs, and wonders happening. And she, like William Seymour, said, "We are not yet up to the fullness of the former rain, and when the latter rain comes, it will far exceed anything we have ever seen." Both these prophecies are about 100 years old. Oh, but God, I believe that we are on the cusp of something wonderful and incredible that God's going to do. I believe that banner is prophetic of what God wants to do in these days, and we're going to see it. Paul Yong-Yi Cho talked about the vision that God showed him. He's the pastor of one of the world's largest churches in Seoul, Korea. He said in America, he saw little fires breaking out all over. He saw fires breaking out on the Western New York, Pennsylvania border. Hello, where is that? Woo! Do you think that could God bring revival from our little church? Absolutely. Could he bring it in Allegheny County? Absolutely. We have people in our region who have been on their face for years praying for revival. Ooh, God's going to do it. It's coming. You know, as William Seymour was seeking God, he prayed. He was praying 4 and 5 hours a day, and he didn't see hardly anything happen for a long time. He got frustrated. And one of his friends suggested maybe he needed to improve his prayer life. 4 or 5 hours? Are you kidding? So he started praying 7, 8 hours a day. Now, I'm not suggesting that we all drop everything we're doing and pray for 7 or 8 hours a day. That's not it. I'm not trying to put a time limit on it. What I am saying is that it's time to prepare in prayer. It's time to get a vision to begin to pray aggressively for God to move. If you're a person who prays 10 or 15 minutes a day, pray a half an hour. Begin to believe God. I used to be so proud of myself. I'd pray for an hour or two, and then I read about William Seymour. I'm like, oh, God. Oh. But I don't want to say you must pray X amount of minutes a day. That's crazy. What I'm going to say is Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The important word there is the word everything. Everything. In the Greek, it means the whole or the complete. Everything. Bring everything. Here's the problem. In our country, people have bowed down at the altar of busy. Oh my goodness. Busy, busy, busy. I'm so busy, I have to go do this. I'm so busy, I have to do that. People come from other countries and they're like, you Americans, the pace of life, have you heard that, Tom? They say everything moves so fast here. And you go to other places and it's not like that. People here, it's like we have an altar where we worship the God of busyness. And people feel like they're just too busy to take that time. In everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Bring everything. As you go through your day, pray. When you're presented with stuff, pray. When I'm at school, I've got a kid going crazy in the front row over here, I start praying for him. When I'm at the store, I'm praying. I see somebody, I pray. I got a tailgater behind me. If you tailgate me, you're going to get prayed for. Because it's either that or I get too angry. I get mad at people. So I decided I'd start praying for them. So I have the tailgater's prayer ministry. Oh, yeah. So if you feel like you need prayer, just find out when I'm going somewhere and tailgate me, and I will really be praying for you. But in everything. Do you know Jesus' life was immersed in prayer? You know, the little things that are mentioned about it in Scripture go by very quickly, but if you look, his life was a life immersed, bathed in prayer. Go ahead. Click. Matthew 14:23. After he had sent them away, which he frequently had to do, send people away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Click. In those days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. I don't know if I do that. I have trouble falling asleep. I hope I could stay awake all night. Go ahead. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and slipped out to a solitary place to pray. If you think maybe these are just a few isolated incidents that Jesus did, maybe he only prayed like this three times, go ahead, Adam. But the news about Jesus spread all the more, and great crowds came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses, yet he frequently withdrew to the wilderness to pray. What do you think powered Jesus' ministry? The greatest evangelistic and miracle ministry ever to come, the Son of God, he prayed. Go ahead, Adam. I think there's another. During the days of Jesus' earthly life, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. There's a little word there, that word reverence. It is in the Greek eulobia, and it's a funny little word. It has an idea of reverent worship, but it also, in this particular usage, speaks of fear, anxiety, and dread. Do we think of Jesus having fear, anxiety, and dread? But this was a time, can you imagine in the garden, when he in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating, tears, blood, his sweat became drops of blood, the intense prayer. In other words, he was willing to pour out everything in prayer that was in him to God, offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. You can bring anything, anything to God and believe him to move. And he can save you from death. He can save you from anything. And he can give you the grace to walk through anything. Glory to God. Prayer. Oh, what prayer does for us. Go ahead, Adam. We can pray for God to give direction, divine direction. And one of the smartest things you can do as a Christian as you walk through is pray for God to direct your steps, to send you in the right way, to send you to the right place, to have you in the right place. I pray in the morning, it's like, God, help me, send me to people, direct my way. In those days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When daylight came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated as apostles. The night before, he was going to choose the 12 men that would shape the history of the world. Where was he? He wasn't sitting somewhere doing a character study or an analysis of their personality. He was praying all night. And God directed, because he knew that he needed direction. If you seek God, he will direct you. My son was just praying. He had such a decision in front of him. He desperately needed another job. And two jobs presented themselves. And they were both good. And we were praying. And I have to find out from him. He said, Dad, God came through and made it so clear. I know what I'm supposed to do. God is faithful to do it. Go ahead, Adam. You want to break down some demonic barriers? It's done in prayer. A man came and brought it. He said, I brought my son to your disciples. He's crazy. He's demon-possessed. And they couldn't cast it out of him. And Jesus is disgusted. He's like, oh, how long am I going to put up with you people? When are you going to have some faith? And then he says, bring him to me. And then he commands the demon to come out. But then he says, you have no faith. But he finishes with, but this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. You want to break some real demonic barriers in people's lives? You start praying, and you can fast and pray, and God will break those things. Do you know why Jesus had authority over that spirit? It's because he had miracle. He had the miracle-working faith to believe, but he prayed and he fasted. He lived a fasted life. Oh, Jesus. Go ahead, Adam. Overcoming. Do you need to overcome temptation in your life? Oh, God, there have been times in my life where I've been tempted in certain areas, and all I do is I just say, God, help me. Father, in Jesus' name, I just start praying, and I pray in the Spirit. And God is faithful. Watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body or the flesh is weak. Jesus is saying this to his disciples on the very eve of his betrayal. He didn't want them to fall into despair and fall all away on account of what was coming. So he said, watch and pray. The idea is, if you watch and pray, you will not fall into temptation. If you don't watch and pray, you will fall into temptation. If you need victory over temptation in your life, pray and grab some other people and pray. God will touch you. God can move and break those things and give you victory. Oh, glory to God. Go ahead, Adam. To strengthen yourselves and others spiritually. Ephesians 6, pray in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and petition. To this end, stay alert with all perseverance in your prayers for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will boldly make known the mystery of the gospel. Do you see that when we pray, we have the opportunity to infuse strength into other people by the Spirit? People can, how many of you have had people pray for you and you have felt their prayers? You've felt strength coming into you. I know I have. When we pray, there is power to strengthen people. Then Jude 1:20, but you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Spirit. Do it. Pray and believe God. You will build yourself up. If you need strengthening, encouraging in yourself, you can pray and God will build you up. Go ahead, Adam. Oh, thank you, Father. You know, prayers, 100% of the prayers that you don't pray will not be answered. 100% of the prayers you do not pray will not be answered. Oh, think about if the Syrophoenician woman with the demon-possessed daughter hadn't prayed to Jesus. What she was like, Jesus, save my daughter. And do you think it was easy? As if you think it was just easy that she said, oh, Jesus, save my daughter, and Zappy did it. No, she had to fight through it. She had to fight through it in her entreaty. Jesus said, I can't take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. It was like a slap right in the face. She had to fight through that. And she said, God, Lord Jesus, just give me one crumb. All I need is a crumb. And her daughter was healed. Think about if the blind man outside of Jericho in Luke 18 had not cried out to Jesus, he'd still be blind. And don't think it was easy for him. He started to call out, and what did the people do? They told him to shut up. Basically what they said, will you shut up? You're causing a problem. What does the scripture say? When they told him that, he cried out all the more. He got worse. This guy's making a problem. They're trying to shut him up. He's a noisy, crazy man. Jesus! And Jesus stops. Oh, glory to God. And he gets his sight. Saints, we may have to fight through some things in our prayers. We may have to fight through some things. Oh, are you willing to fight, though? Are you willing to do it? Oh, Luke 11:13. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? You look at that word ask. Petition. Demand. Seek. You know, when Jesus talked about praying, he said, ask, seek, and knock. Do you know there's a progression there? There's an intensity, a growing intensity, until you're finally right at the door and you're knocking. Oh, God. And you know, frankly, we're going to read John 15. We're going to end in a minute, but we are worthless, basically worthless to this world, to the people that we would minister to horizontally, if we are not connected vertically. We got nothing to offer. John 15:4-5, remain in me and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Boy, I wish I could, that could really sink into my thick head. You can do nothing. That word remain in your Bibles, it says abide. It means to wait. It means to stay. It means to hang out in his presence, abiding. That means we have to have this vertical relationship with God that we constantly renew if we're going to have anything in us to be able to give to people. You want to be able to minister to people in the power of God? Get in your prayer closet. You want to see God move in your life in a mighty way? You want to see people around you get saved? Get in your prayer closet. Get with your Father. Spend that time with Him. He will give you those gifts. Go ahead, Adam. I said we were done and I just remembered I had another. Exodus 34:29-35. I hope you can get this. And when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was unaware that his face had become radiant. That word radiant in the Hebrew literally means to send out rays. Can you imagine if you saw Moses and his face was glowing and shining and sending out light? It'd freak you out. Aaron and all the Israelites looked at Moses and behold, his face was radiant and they were afraid to approach him. Yeah. What on earth is that? But Moses called out to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him. I'll bet they were pretty cautious about it. There's the glory of God shining on this guy's face. And they, okay, is this really okay? After this, all the Israelites came near and Moses commanded them to do everything that the Lord had told him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out, he would tell the Israelites what he had been commanded. And the Israelites would see that the face of Moses was radiant. He would go in and out and in and out of the presence of God. And when he came out, his face shone with the glory of God. Why? Because he had gone in and come out, in and out. And he received that glory of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're changed. Go ahead, Adam. And we who with an unveiled face, it's talking about that very scripture that we just read. An unveiled face, all reflect the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into His image with intensifying glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. When you spend time in the presence of God is going to get on you, and it's going to affect everybody that you're around. It's going to infect everybody that you're around, because the glory of God cannot be contained. You're going to radiate it. Oh, God, I want to radiate your glory. Oh, Jesus. Not so that people will say, oh, look, Dave's radiating the glory of God. No, I want people to see Jesus. We want people to see Jesus, and the end result is that we get changed into His image from glory to glory. Stephen's face shone. There he says, so they look like the face of an angel. I think he shone. I think the glory of God shone on Stephen's face before they stoned him. Glory to God. And I think this is the end now. Go ahead, Adam. Luke 18:1-7. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Can I leave you with that final thought? Jesus told them specifically a parable so that they would always pray and not give up. What does it mean, not give up? Not give up their faith, not give up praying. In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected men. And there was a widow in that town who kept appealing to him, give me justice against my adversary. I think about William Seymour praying, come on, God, send your spirit. God, do it. For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect men, yet because this widow keeps pestering me. I liked that so much that I had to underline it. That's my emphasis. Pestering me. She was a pest. Do you think God minds being pestered? Do you think God delights when you pester Him for people's souls? Oh, God. When you pester Him to give you more of the Spirit of God, when you pester Him to move in your life and move in your area, I will, because this widow keeps pestering me, I will give her justice. Then she will stop wearing me out with her perpetual requests. And the Lord said, listen to the words of the unjust judge. Will not God bring about justice for His elect who cry out to Him day and night? Will He continue to defer their help? The answer, the obvious answer is no. No. Ladies and gentlemen, I hear it in my spirit as clear as day. We are on the cusp of God preparing to do something mighty. And if we're smart, we're going to get ready. If we're smart, we're going to prepare. We're going to have to prepare ourselves. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what God's going to do. I know in the Jesus movement, people weren't prepared to have a whole bunch of smelly, hairy hippies come walking in the back door. Are you ready for anything? I don't know how God might do it. But I can promise you, we're going to have to change. We're going to have to be flexible. We're going to have to be able to receive people no matter what. In William Seymour's day, he was a black man. White people started going to his church. It was unheard of. It was unheard of. There were no race problems in the Azusa Street Revival. People came from everywhere. You want to see the problems in America go away? Pray and believe God. Pray heaven down. Pray that God will move. We need, in this day, We can be political. We can vote for people. We can do this or that. But people's hearts will not change until God moves. We need to pray like never before that God will bring revival. God will bring repentance. Oh, saints, I want to ask you to commit your hearts to begin to pray like you have not prayed before. It's going to come. It's going to come. Glory to your name. It's going to come. And we're there. I keep looking at this thing saying, bring it, God. And then I think, God, if you brought it today, would I be ready? Oh, God, help us. God, help us. Oh, we have much to prepare. But pray and be led of the Spirit of God and don't give up. Give yourselves to pray in this hour. Father, in Jesus' name, we're praying and crying out to you. Just as our brothers and sisters in times past cried out to you, Father, when every great move of God came, the saints were crying out and praying to you. And Father, we are in that day and that hour where, God, if you don't help us, there is no help. Father, we're crying out to you that you would move by your Spirit. And we believe that you can pour out your Spirit, God, that you can heal people's bodies, that you can save people, that you can bring conviction, that you can do a mighty work and change people's hearts and lives, deliver them from their habits, free them from their sins, give them a new life. Father, in Jesus' name, we believe that you can do it. And God, we pray. I pray, Father, that you would burn such a desire in our hearts to cry out to you that we would be pestering you for that move of God. Oh, God, we cry out for it, for our town, for our village, for the people we live near, our neighbors next door, the people we work with, the people that we see. God, in our village, Father, for all of the masses of people who don't go to church anywhere but need the gospel, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you would punch a hole in the spirit of darkness over our area. And God, let the light come. Release your Spirit, Father, we pray. And help us, God, to be willing to pay the price in prayer. Make us those who will make up the stand in the gap and make up the breach. God, in the day that you said that, you said you couldn't find anybody. Help us to be the ones that have a heart to pray for them, that have such a burden to see souls saved and to see people's lives changed, that we would pray heaven down. Help us, Father. Give us your grace, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Father, that we can look at the altars behind us and know that we can believe you for the altar that is before us. Oh, Jesus, do it, Lord. Pour out your Spirit. Show your arm strong. Reveal yourself and save people, Father, in this day and hour. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to your name, Father. Oh, you can do it. Saints, in the last days, I can't believe that we aren't going to experience a wonderful move of God. It's going to happen. I believe that there is the likelihood, I bear witness in my heart, that with it may come persecution. We don't like that word, but Jesus said the scriptures say all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I don't know that it's going to be easy. It wasn't easy at Azusa Street. They tried to shut that revival down. The health department said it's unsanitary. You can't have that many people. We're shutting you down. And they continued anyway. Child Protective Services came and said, we see children out here all hours of the night. They tried to shut down their meetings. They kept trying to shut them down over and over and over. The press slandered them and said horrible things. And yet God moved. And in this day, we can believe God even in the face of persecution to move. Father, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. And if you're here today, I want to pray God to do a miracle in your body if you need it. If you'd like prayer today, We welcome you to come up. If not, I want to encourage you to keep that picture in your heart and pray it and believe God and ask Him to pour out His Spirit. God bless you. If you'd like prayer, please come now.